upstatemuscle.com. That's upstatemuscle.com.
The Mickey Plyler Show on 105.5 The Roar.
That's right, sports fans.
Now back to Mickey and Zach.
Welcome back. Glad to have you with us here from Chick-fil-A of Clemson on a College Football Friday. Our friends at Priority One. I told you I set my alarm off the other day. Didn't mean to, but set my alarm off the other day. And just knowing, it is nice to know that if you live in Hartwell, Georgia, you can hear my alarm when it goes off in my house. That's awfully good to hear. It's not good while you're trying to talk to the lady about your passcode and all that kind of stuff. But Priority One is awesome. Every Friday when I'm at Chick-fil-A, I always worry about Zach and his safety. And then I remember we have Priority One in the studios there. So Zach is safe and sound inside the Priority One security studios. The technology is amazing. You know, the Ring doorbell technology. I wish we lived in a world we didn't have to have this. When I grew up as a kid, we didn't lock our doors. We didn't worry about things like this. Now you got to worry about it. And unfortunately, so keep your family safe. You know, one of the things now is that I get text messages whenever we, whenever we have the secured and not secured. We were in College Station, Texas, and I got a text message saying that our alarm had been tripped, so we had to call our house sitter and tell her the code. I wouldn't have known, but thanks to technology, I know this kind of things. So I was 1,000 miles away from home and got a text message from our friends at Priority One. Priority One Security. Get in touch with them. The great folks at PriorityOneSecurity.com. A couple things here, Mr. Or 24. Let me get to Williams. Is Williams still hanging on? Through the break, Zach? Okay, let's get to William, and we'll take more of your phone calls in the segment. 654-ROAR, 654-7627, Northland Communication phone lines. Hey, William, thanks for hanging through the break, man. Hope you're doing well.
I'm doing fine. Good morning. How you guys doing?
Blessed. Very blessed.
I got two things I want to ask you about this morning.
All right.
You were talking about Joe Burrow this morning, right?
Yes.
Did you happen to see that interview on the SEC Network that he where he said he – they asked him why he didn't go down. He said, "That's not in me. I'm a physical quarterback. I'm going to run right at you." But I'm going to tell you this right now. In the SEC, he won't be around too long. He'll be on the DL for too much longer. What's your opinion on that, him making a statement like that?
Well, man, yeah, if Missouri and Vanderbilt and Kentucky and Tennessee start hitting you, whew, that'd be tough to play in that SEC, boy. If Florida started hitting you, man, that'd be tough.
I mean, that's just, you can't fix stupid, you know, to get on the SEC Network and make a comment like that. But anyway, one more point. That front four, you guys, I had them picked as the best in college football. But they struggle with A&M. We agree on that, right?
Well, now, they got held constantly throughout the game.
A lot, yeah. A lot, right.
I mean, I don't care how good you are, if you're allowed to hold, that's one thing. And they got pressure on him. But what happened at A&M besides the holding and besides the screen game that did a great job of slowing down that rush. You know, there are ways to slow down rushes. You get pressure releases. You get some screens. You get some draws. You get some, you know, getting the ball out on the perimeter. You get rid of the three-step drops. I don't care how good you are in a three-step drop deal. And then – on top of that, you had a quarterback, a mobile quarterback, that could have been sacked a bunch, but made plays by escaping with his feet and barely getting balls off. So all those things led into Clemson, you know, not playing great. I thought they played good up front, but those factors led to Clemson not playing great up front.
I mean, relax. I'm not putting you boys down. I'm just asking a question.
All right.
But I'm wondering, and I don't y'all don't question Dabo, but I am not a Clemson fan. I can do it. I wonder if he ought to get a little more physical instead of dancing around in the locker room. I mean, I don't know. Because when he goes up against a physical offensive line, say like Georgia or some, I mean, you know.
What do you want him to do in the locker room besides dance? How physical can he be in the locker room? What do you want to do in the locker room?
I mean, I don't know, brother. Don't get offended. I'm just asking.
No, I'm just asking you. He ought not dance in the locker room, be more physical. What do you want him to do in the locker room?
I don't know. He can dance, he can spin, I don't care. As long as he gets it done. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. But maybe he needs to get a little more physical is basically all I'm saying. I don't know. But you guys have a good day, and I'm sorry I made y'all mad. Okay. Have a good day.
You didn't make me mad. I'm just saying I'm going to give you every opportunity. I'm not mad at you at all, but I'm saying if you're going to criticize somebody and say he ought to do something, well, I'm asking what should he do?
Get more physical. That's the only thing I can say. Get more physical. don't know.
So the head coach needs to get more physical?
No, the players need to be more physical, Mickey. Oh, you know what I'm talking about.
No. I mean, William. No, you said that Dabo, instead of dancing around the locker rooms, he ought to be more physical.
Okay, he ought to get his players more physical. I'm sorry. I apologize.
No, that's okay.
But anyway, okay. I started not to even bring this up, but I was just, I expect your opinion, and I figured we could talk about this like men, but I'm going to let it go.
Y'all have a good day. No, William. I appreciate the phone call. We are. We're talking like men. I'm not mad at you. I'm not upset with you. I'm just saying, if you're going to criticize Dabo for dancing in the locker rooms and say you're more physical, I want to know what do you – if you're going to criticize, then give me a solution to it. That's fine. You know what? I'm accepting. If you say he needs whatever he needs to do, we'll listen to that conversation. Mr. Orr 24, do you have any thoughts about what Dabo could do rather than dance in the locker room and become more physical?
I didn't know that there was a problem there, to be honest with you.
I didn't know
the guy that's won unbelievable amounts of games needs to completely redefine himself as a coach and a person and be more physical there. But we can talk about it like men if you want to, but like that's you took a veiled shot at a coach who is who is one of the most successful in the country. I mean, he runs a better program than 99% of the programs in the country, if not all of them. And it's ridiculous to even consider criticizing
Dabo. But I'm going to give him chances to say, if you're going to – here's the thing you do. If you don't like it and if you think somebody do something differently, then tell me what you need to do differently. I'll listen to that. That's fair. Dabo is not above reproach, right? I can listen to it, but just tell me what you want to do.
Is he? Is he? No. I mean, are you going to be questioning Dabo anytime soon?
No, I question Dabo all the time.
Do you?
Yeah, and then after I question it, I also say, looking at the situation, I think he did the right thing here. I think I've given him three or four things I've truly criticized him for through the years. I don't think that they should let the punter back on after the second arrest. I don't think that the 09 South Carolina game, the Deshaun Watson not starting him a little earlier. Those were about three things in there I thought to do. But really, of the hundreds of decisions he makes every single day, I think he's done a great job of about a 99.9% passing rate right now, and things you give him credit for through all that.
Sure.
I want to tell you, last night, Zach, I'm reading up on games, and I'm looking at lines, I'm looking at TV and the changes. And by the way, we'll have our biggie games coming up, and that's going to change this week because the TV certainly has changed because of the weather. But I'm looking at games, I'm looking at lines, and reading some analysis and looking at games all over the country, and I get to CBS Sports, and Barrett Saley is one of their college football analysts, one of their national analysts. And I'm down to the second game of the week, and this is what he says. Are you sitting down, Zach Orr, Mr. Orr 24? Are you currently on your keister sitting down? I think he's on the phone here, so we'll do that. But number one, Alabama at Ole Miss. Ole Miss is a 21-point underdog. He said, big test for the Tide secondary. Can Ole Miss stop anybody? An upset alert. He says, the luster got whipped off this matchup a little bit last week when Ole Miss defense gave up 41 points and 627 yards against Southern Illinois. Let me repeat that. Ole Miss gave up 41 points and 627 yards to Southern Illinois last week. But Barry Shaley goes on, because of that, it's only logical to assume that quarterback Tua Tagovailoa and the rest of the Crimson Tide offense would have their way against the Porsche Rebel defense. While that's probably true, the Tide defense will have its hands full with Ole Miss, with their quarterback, running back, wide receiver, three good wide receivers in Brown, Metcalf, and Lodge. Considering outside of Deontay Thompson, the entire Tide secondary is new, Saley says, shutting that group down is a big-time challenge. Ole Miss will put up some points on the board early, hang on late. And Zach, he says, not only cover the 21-point spread, but spring the outright upset in Oxford tomorrow night against Alabama.
21-point dogs, and you're telling me they're going down there and then they're going to get that win tomorrow night.
You can't start out the conversation with, despite Ole Miss giving up 41 points and 627 yards to Southern Illinois, comma, they're going to beat Alabama. That's not – it didn't. Alabama will have 19,000 yards if Southern Illinois had 627 yards.
Mm.
So you're not buying that.
No, I'm not buying
obviously.
That.
Okay.
I went ahead and picked Alabama.
Okay, just really making sure of that. You make anything of the pro game last night? Cincinnati beat Baltimore 34-23. Did you make anything? Andy Dalton, AJ Green had a huge game. The Bengals are now 2-0.
2-0, Cincinnati.
And they talk about a new attitude in Cincinnati. It's hard to have an old coach that's been around as long as Marvin Lewis and has kind of had the same kind of organization forever and ever and ever, and then all of a sudden bring in a new attitude. You know, it's like the new coaches, you can kind of sell a new attitude, but they talk about a new attitude going on in Cincinnati. You buying this or not?
Am I buying that Marvin Lewis is an old dog that learned new tricks? Is that what you're asking me?
Because yeah, no. Old dog, yeah.
Because no,
yeah.
I'm not buying that.
Okay. I didn't realize this either until I was watching, believe it or not, I watched the NFL last night.
Believe it or not, I'm walking on
air. Zach, every new head coach last week lost?
Yes, 0-7.
How about that? Well, there's a reason there's a new coach there, first of all. But that's hard to believe that not one of the seven new coaches won last week.
Hey, we get one this weekend. Giants are beating the Cowboys on Sunday Night Football. I'll tell you right now.
Where's that game?
I believe it's in Jerry World.
Both teams need to win badly, huh?
They do. Yes, they very much do.
Both teams didn't look great last week. You lost at home last week, or was that down in Jacksonville?
We lost at home, Nikki. You knew this.
No. Honest to goodness. When I asked the question, I personally did not remember if that game was at home or not.
Yes, we lost to Jacksonville at home. Okay. If you want me to say it again for the masses to hear.
Okay. Let me switch gears here. I got Josh Williams coming up. Let me get Hoss on hold. Good morning, Hoss. Thanks for hanging on, man. How you doing?
Doing good. Hope you're doing good, Nikki.
We are. We are doing great.
I went back and watched the South Carolina game. I don't know why. I guess I'm just a sadist, a masochist. But, you know, at the end of the first half, they had run 46 offensive plays and converted 50% on third downs. I thought, against the Georgia defense, that's not too bad. And one thing I was noticing is Jake had a lot of time to throw the football. The only time Georgia seemed to get any pressure on him is when they brought a blitz. And I was wanting to know if you thought that is an Achilles, that could end up being an Achilles heel for Georgia later in the season if there's some teams that perhaps could take advantage of that if they don't develop a pass rush with just their front four. And I'll listen.
Thank you. I certainly appreciate that. You know, again, the pass rush, we just talked about it from Clemson's standpoint. If you've got a great pass rush, teams can negate that. You throw the ball out in the flats, you get that horizontal passing game going, you three-step drop it, you slant it, you throw the fades, you draw it, you screen it, tunnel screen it, bubble screen it, running back screen it, tight end screen it. I mean, there's a lot of things you can do to use that kind of speed and athleticism against you. He was asking about South Carolina. Let me touch on both sides of the line of scrimmage, what South Carolina will be facing coming up. I don't think that the Gamecocks on either side of the ball will be overmatched by Vanderbilt. Can we agree, Zach, that South Carolina was overmatched on both sides of the ball by Georgia?
Yeah, I agree with that.
Okay. Do you think either – I don't think Vanderbilt on either side of the ball will overmatch South Carolina. You?
I agree with that as well.
Kentucky?
No.
Missouri?
No.
I think A&M has a chance to do that. I think A&M, look, their pass rush was and I'm going to give Elko a lot of credit, defensive coordinator, former defensive coordinator. We saw at Wake Forest run up some really good schemes here. And then Notre Dame, of course, I didn't think Notre Dame was great on defense last year compared to what A&M looks at so far this year. But and I'll look at the numbers here to make sure I'm right saying it. But I think A&M has a chance to do that. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely.
Tennessee's not going to overwhelm you on either side of the ball. Ole Miss, we just talked about this. Ole Miss gave up 627 yards and 41 points to Southern Illinois. Their defense hitting. Now, offensively now, Ole Miss is going to score a bunch of points against South Carolina. Now, does that mean it's going to be a shootout down in Oxford? And those two teams will change a lot between now and November the 3rd. I don't think Florida can do that. I don't think Chattanooga can do that. Clemson, certainly on both sides of the ball, can do that, right?
Yes, sir.
So, with that said, A&M from here on out, A&M and Clemson are the two lines of scrimmages that you can go that route with. Elko last year And Notre Dame gave up 21.5 points a game. Really the only teams that gave up 37 to Wake Forest last year and 38 to Stanford. And those were the only games over 41 to Miami as well. So in the last three of the last four regular season games last year, they had a great defense until those games. And then in those games, they gave up 16 to Temple, 20 to Georgia, 20 to Boston College, 18 to Michigan State. Miami of Ohio scored 17. North Carolina scored 10. Southern Cal scored 14. NC State scored 14. And then in three of the last four games, Wake Forest 37, Miami scored 41, Navy scored 17. Now, in the Miami game, remember, so I picked six or two in there, and Stanford scored 38. In the bowl game, they gave up 17 to LSU. My point was that Mike Elko, defensive coordinator at Texas A&M, who did a really good job all those years at Wake Forest, has done a really good job at Texas A&M. And I would think that A&M would come into Columbia right now. A lot can change between now and October the 13th, but I think that the Gamecocks will come in as an underdog to A&M because of those lines of scrimmage. I hope that answered Hoss's phone call. I hope. Hey, those are a lot of numbers for you. Numbers matter. University Cottages, universitycottages.com, 784-3400, 784-3400. How many times you get a brand new cottage, a brand new living conditions for what you need and everything you've got? How many times do you see this for less than $500 a month here in Clemson? That doesn't happen anymore. Those numbers matter. Certainly, the big widescreen TV in the living rooms. You've got the ceiling fans in every room. You've got the doggy park. It's pet friendly. You've got the big resort style pools. You've got all those things going for you. And you get all the amenities that you're looking for with luxurious living, but you're doing it for less than $500 a month right now. University Cottages, universitycottages.com. It's Ingalls Crossing on the cat bus route, I should say. Safety features everywhere. You're going to love University Cottages and Ingalls Crossing. Again, the number that matters there, $500 a month, 784-3400. When we come back, Josh Williams is going to talk about some trends in Las Vegas. We'll ask him about some of the big games out there this weekend. Florida State and Syracuse, that's an interesting one to me. Alabama, Ole Miss, we've talked about that one. Ohio State, TCU, Southern Cal, Texas, LSU, Auburn, Boise State, Oklahoma State is a game of two ranked teams. We'll do that when you return to Chick-fil-A of Clemson on a College Football Friday after this.
Do you love pets? How about helping Clemson Paw Partners? We're a nonprofit organization that cares about animal welfare, and we are in need of help. If you would like to help, go to clemsonpawpartners.org, and please be responsible. Spay and neuter your pets. Lack of doing so causes many pets to go unwanted and are in need of homes. Our mission is to improve animal welfare and decrease pet overpopulation in our community. Donations help low-income families with the cost of spay and neuter and other necessary medical treatments. Please follow us on Facebook at Clemson Paw Partners.
Four Paws American Pub, Clemson's newest spot for delicious house-made dishes like pan-fried trout, hot wings, juicy burgers, and more. Located on Highway 93 in front of the Courtyard Marriott, made fresh with local ingredients, Four Paws' diverse menu will fit any craving or time of day. Tigers are making tracks to Four Paws to catch a game on the 20 big-screen HD TVs. Call 654-5151 to place your to-go order. Four Paws American Pub, locally owned and operated by Clemson grads. Go Tigers!
Vehicles repairs can be a painful experience, but don't let them be. The experts at My Garage are here to treat your vehicle like the major investment it is. Call today to make your appointment at 633-5800 or visit us at 551 Old Greenville Highway in Clemson.
The road to true freedom is traveled on two wheels. Tim's Harley Davidson will put you on a motorcycle that's worthy of the ride. They'll welcome you like family and help you find the bike of your dreams. And Tim's will take care of you for the long haul with service and gear. It's time for the new 2019 models. Plus, they have pre-loved bikes too. Real freedom is an ongoing challenge. Meet it head on with a test ride at Tim's Harley Davidson in Anderson.
It happens every time. When a hailstorm hits, there's an increase of people who want to take your money for roof repairs. Problem is, many of them are just trying to take advantage of you and don't really know what they're doing. Gilstrap Roofing has been around for decades. Trust Gilstrap Roofing to handle the repairs and deal with the insurance. Just because someone knocks on your door with a card that says they're a roofer doesn't mean they'll do quality work at a reasonable price. Call Gilstrap Roofing, 269-1232.
Be the hottest tiger at your tailgate party when you go buy Urban Nirvana. The best stylists, the best products make you look your best with ease. And guys, with all your Honey Bunny does, kids, school, work, why not surprise her with an Urban Nirvana gift certificate? It's so simple. Log on to urbannirvana.com, make your purchase, and print your gift certificate from your computer. So easy and so worth it. Look and feel like a tiger with Urban Nirvana. At MacBee Station and the shops at Green Ridge. Online at urbannirvana.com.
There's no one like you, and this fall, Pandora Jewelry lets you show that to the world with over 150 rings to choose from. Crafted from sterling silver, Pandora rose, or 14-karat gold, every hand-finished ring lets you play with possibility. Stack rings for impact, or wear single rings for every finger. Shop the newest rings from Pandora Jewelry now, and do see the wonderful. Pandora available at Turner's Jewelers at the Applewood Center Place. Visit us online at turnersjewelers.com.
The summer clearance sale on all in-stock patio furniture is now in progress at the Craft Stove Store and Patio. Now is the perfect time to update your patio, porch, or pool and save during the summer clearance sale at Craft Stove Store and Patio. Available for immediate delivery, buy it now and enjoy it tomorrow. It's the summer clearance sale on all in-stock patio furniture at the Craft Stove Store and Patio on Wade Hampton Boulevard.
Craft Stove Store and Patio.
Fresh off a big win against Texas A&M, we'll take an in-depth look at the Tigers' next opponent, Georgia Southern. Road Rage will be live at George Coleman Ford today from 3 to 7 with free Papa John's pizza. Join us and see the great deals at George Coleman Ford.
If you are thinking about buying or selling a home or a place to start a new business, or you need some acreage, then you need to call Coldwell banker Hugh Durham & Associates. Hugh Durham has been in business for over 45 years, a member of IPTE for 54 years, and he has the same dedication to Clemson athletics as he has to his business. Put the dedicated and experienced experts to work for you. Call Coldwell banker Hugh Durham at 225-3788 or online at cbhdpros.com and get ready to be treated like family.
The Mickey Plyler Show on 105.5 The Roar.
That's what she said.
Now back to Mickey and Zach.
Well, they blew up the chicken man in Philly last night. Now they blew up his house, too. Down on the boardwalk, they're getting ready for a fight. Gonna see what them racket boys can do. Now there's trouble.
Hey, welcome back. Glad to have you with us. Canty Foundation Specialist wants to come in and fix any issues you might have. Cracks above doorways and windows. That means your doorways and windows can become stuck or jammed, and your foundation's barking at you, telling you that you have major issues in your foundation. You don't want to lose the biggest value, your home, your business. Let Canty come in and let Canty fix that for you. C-A-N-T-E-Y, CantyCanFixIt.com. Hey, it's a no-obligation phone call. They'll come in and give you a free estimate of anything they have going on there. It's CantyCanFixIt.com. C-A-N-T-E-Y, CantyCanFixIt.com. 725 on a, actually 726 now, on a college football Friday, and we go to our guy that keeps an eye on Vegas and some lines and some trends and some sharp money, and our good friend Josh Williams joins us this morning. Good morning, J-Dub. How you doing this morning?
I'm doing well, man. How are you?
Couldn't be better. I want to jump into it because we have six games I want to get into, so I want to get into all of them now. Florida State has not looked good in 2 weeks. They gave up over 500 yards to Samford, coming off the loss at home, their very first to Virginia Tech, the very first road game of the year. Over under 68.5 on this one, but this line stayed pretty steady, 2.5 to 3 points now. Florida State's a favored at Syracuse. That's a small number for Florida State and Syracuse historically. What's the sharp money? What's the thoughts? What's the trends with the Seminoles heading up to Syracuse?
Yeah, it's been pretty flat all week. I mean, it's been hanging around that 2.5 to 3 all week. You know, the most action's been on that point total. That's gone up from 61 to 68. But to me, it almost seems like one of those spots where everybody's going to doubt Florida State and they win, but there's nothing there to go off of for that, for how they've looked in the first 2 weeks. I mean, they even got outgained last week by Samford, you know, and had to score, I think it was 15 points in the fourth to come back and win that game. You know, these two last year when they played, Syracuse really outplayed them. They outgained them by over 100 yards, but had some turnover problems and lost the game. You know, and over has been, you know, has the game's gone over the total in 5 out of the 6 games between these two, so that supports that point total move there. So really, to me, the thing, you know, Syracuse has scored 117 points in 2 games. And really, you know, in that first game, they scored 55, and I really haven't seen an explanation, but they took out Dungy and put in DeVito there for that third quarter, and, you know, he was kind of playing like Danny DeVito, and they just let Western Michigan back in that game before Dungy came back in and scored 3 or 4 more times. But the thing to watch to me really with Florida State is that defense looked undersized and slow in that first game. And Virginia Tech had a lot of success hitting stuff on the perimeter. And that's one of Dino Babers' staples in that offense, with those quick screens and stuff on the perimeter. So be interested to see, to watch that. And one thing that's kind of reared its head with Taggart as a head coach is, last year when he was at Oregon, they were at the bottom of the conference in second half scoring, and actually they were even dead last in third quarter scoring. So it doesn't seem that if something goes wrong or is not going well with his game plan, he's able to make the adjustments and adapt and change it. So that's one thing I'm kind of interested to watch here, in that if things aren't going well for them earlier in the first half, how they can kind of adjust in the second half.
Well, that's been the knock on him forever. Even South Florida fans talked about it a little bit. I know Oregon fans talked about that, is and the adjustments a big part of it. They might have adjustments to make tomorrow up in Syracuse. One of the only few lines out there that are any higher than the over-under than Florida State and Syracuse is Alabama and Ole Miss. 71 is what I've started seeing here recently. And this line has bounced back and forth. About 3 touchdowns. What's the trend here with Alabama and Ole Miss?
Yeah, Bama's gotten predictably 80% of the action, both on the ticket count and the money, and 94% of the money has gone on the over, which supports that it's gone up a full 7 points. And you know, the last 3 years that supports that, it's been an average of 80 points scored in the game between these two the last 3 years. So obviously, you know, Ole Miss has given Bama a little bit of trouble historically. You know, they got a little maybe revenge in that spot last year, beating them 66-3. But, you know, I'm interested to watch here with Tua. I mean, it's his first road start. You know, Ole Miss can't go to a bowl this year, so this is definitely going to be their Super Bowl. You know, we talk a lot about Saban, and, you know, last week was not a spot where they normally cover as a big favorite against a non-Power 5 team. But in conference games since Saban's been there, he hit 75% against the spread when they're a 21-plus point favorite against an SEC foe. He's 15-5. So I don't see how there's not a lot of points scored in this one. That point total still might not be high enough. Ole Miss, I think, going to be able to move the ball on them. And you know, they got a more prolific passing game, better group of receivers than Louisville. And they could probably give the Bama secondary some problems, but they don't have a prayer at stopping Tua and the rest of the Bama offense on the other side.
Totally agree with all that. Ohio State's been a lot of offseason talk about them. Here they are, 2-0 so far without Urban Meyer. They go down to the state of Texas, 12.5 to 13 points. What's the thoughts with Ohio State going to TCU?
Yeah, they've gotten basically 2/3 of the action in ticket count and money. That's pushed that up to 13.5. You know, I see the opener's 8.5, but I think that was one of the ones that was an online book, and I bet that wasn't there for long. So it's been 12.5, 13, 13.5 most of the week. You know, TCU struggled against ranked teams last year. They were 1-5 against the spread, which kind of goes against Patterson and his trends and success before that. But it, you know, when he's been a double digit dog in the last decade, he's 7-0 against the number. And, you know, as a touchdown or more dog, he's 18-6 since 2005. So, to me, the one thing I kind of want to watch in this one is, two things. Ohio State is 102nd in the country in allowing explosive plays. I mean, even Oregon State, who's one of the worst Power 5 teams in the country, you know, had a 49-yard passing TD, an 80-yard touchdown, and another 78-yard touchdown. So that'd be one thing to see. TCU's a little inexperienced on the offensive side, but if they can get some explosive plays, Ohio State seems to kind of lend itself to that. And the other thing is kind of watching the in-game adjustments. Obviously, you've got an inexperienced interim there in Ryan Day, and Patterson's one of the best there is at in-game and halftime adjustments. There's been, you know, how many bowl games these last few years that they've come back from, you know, 20 points down or more and come back and won the game. So that's kind of what I want to look at there, is if Ohio State gets out to a lead, how they adjust and vice versa, and watch how Ohio State kind of handles that being in a – I don't think it's even going to be that hostile. I think a lot of Ohio State fans are going to travel, so it's probably going to be more like a 60-40 crowd than it would be slanted that much into TCU's favor since it's in that, at Jerry's World.
Yeah. The state of Texas, back in this conversation again. Southern Cal struggled against Stanford. Texas obviously struggled on the road up at Maryland. Youth and inexperience at a lot of places on both sides. And 3 to 3.5. Texas is a favorite in this one. What are the thoughts? What are the trends here in Vegas on this game?
Yeah, this is one the public is on one side and the sharps are on the other. The public is on Southern Cal. They've got 60% of the tickets and the sharps are on Texas. They've gotten about 60% of the money being on Texas. The line's starting to tick up a little bit. It's moved off of 3 and going up to 4 now as of yesterday. You know, who knows what the status is of Southern Cal's quarterback, Daniels. Think he's going to play, but he is a little dinged up. But, you know, they had a pretty atrocious performance last week, just scoring 3 points there against Stanford. You know, and a lot of times you like to think that you want to back a team that has coming off a bad performance in a good bounce back spot that next week. But you know, historically, that hasn't been the case. You know, since 2005, if you have a ranked Power 5 team coming off the loss, and even worse, off a big loss, double-digit loss, 2 touchdowns or more, they're only 40% covering the spread the next week. So I really like Texas in this spot in this one. They'll get a little revenge off of that overtime loss last year, but I definitely like the spot a lot better for Texas than I do in Southern Cal traveling 2 weeks in a row.
J-Dub slinging some numbers at us. Here's a number, two numbers to think about. The Auburn, a double-digit favorite over LSU. LSU's ranked 12th in the country and feeling good about themselves. A revenge game for Auburn from last year. And of all those numbers out there, 71 over-under on the Ole Miss and Alabama game. How about 44 on the Ole Miss, on the LSU and Auburn game, all the way down from 71 to 44, 44.5. What's the trends with the Tigers, both Tigers battling on the Plains?
Yeah, and you know, and that may even still be too high. It's come down from 47, but you know, this line is going from 8.5 up to 10.5, and it, you know, much like that Texas game, it's where you know the public is betting on LSU. They've gotten you know, about 65% of the action there, but there's more money being wagered on Auburn, so the sharps are on Auburn. You know, it'd be the same to watch, you know, Joe Burrow, obviously, first road start against probably one of the best, if not the best, defense in the SEC. So it's probably likely going to be a low-scoring game. But, you know, Auburn is 1-5 straight at home against a ranked team. Obviously, they're really strong there. But, you know, historically, in the series between these two, it's been dominated by the home team. The home team's won 16 out of 18 times and covered the spread. They're 13-4-1. The home team has covered. So not a lot. I think the professionals are not showing a lot of respect for LSU, even though that big win they had first week. So I think we'll learn a lot about them this week.
I mentioned earlier, I think three things could happen. LSU can't blow out Auburn. LSU can win a close one. Auburn can win a close one. But I think Auburn could blow out LSU. Maybe, not blow out, but you know, 14, 17 points. A little surprise the line did go up a little bit to reflect that also. How about a little out-of-conference, a little OOC strength, and a couple of ranked teams going at it out in Stillwater, Oklahoma. This line started at 3.5, dropping down to 2. Boise State's going to Oklahoma State.
Yeah, Boise's getting a lot of action here from the sharps. That you know, slightly over 50% of the tickets are on Boise, but over 76% of the money is on Boise State here. they're definitely the more experienced team. They got a 4-year starter there at quarterback. This is, you know, one of the more inexperienced teams that Gundy has had, and kind of their first real test. But Boise's been impressive so far. I mean, they had over 800 yards last week, and then they go on the road the first week down to Troy against a pretty good non-Power 5 team there as well, and score 56 points and blow them out. So, you know, they're 7-3. Boise is 7-3 versus a ranked Power 5 team basically in the last decade. And Harsin, since he's been moved to the head coaching role at Boise, he's 16-7 both straight up and against the numbers. This is really a big game for them. Maybe one they can even capitalize on with Central Florida, you know, having their game canceled this weekend. So if the season kind of plays out like most think, this is a big spot for them if they can get a win and to vault them up being that group of five team that could get in one of those New Year's Six bowls.
Yeah, they have done a good job in the past of winning that one game they have to win to get in that conversation. Should be a lot of fun tomorrow. Slinging numbers out there, man. Hey, I always appreciate it. Looking forward to it. Next week, let's talk a little South Carolina Vanderbilt, maybe a little Clemson and Georgia Tech, and maybe a little better schedule next week with the hopefully no weather affecting everybody out there. But always look forward to it. And can't wait to see you over there tomorrow at Death Valley, buddy.
Sounds good, man. Thanks for having me.
It's a good friend, Josh Williams, J-Dub. Just throwing some numbers around for you. Just throwing some trends around for you. A little sharp money and all that. Hey, our friends at Katichi want you to come and enjoy their golf course. Look, you can do this tomorrow. You can do this today. Maybe not Sunday or Monday. They'll be back up and running and back in business and ready for you Tuesday and Wednesday. I know this about Katichi. Great drainage over there. It's a great piece of property. Get out and play some golf. Make your trips over. I know I've got a friend going over. Go take his wife over. They're going to have a great time. The food is fantastic. If you've never been, go. I get this all the time, though. Whenever I talk about Katichi over in Hartwell, Georgia, a short drive from here in the upstate, people always say, you know, my buddies, we always go. It's one of the best golf courses around. It's a really great time. We enjoy it. Thanks for reminding us of it. I want to remind you, for the folks that go and go fairly frequently, just stop by and see them again. They'd love to have you out. They'd love to show you all their great new teaching stuff there. I play golf with a guy on Wednesday. He's taking lessons from Jeff Gotham. He's getting fitted with Jeff Gotham over there, the director of the David Ledbetter Academy. You know, take care of all your instruction over there. I ask all the time people, who can fit me? Who can change my, you know, work on my my clothes for me? Who can do all that? Man, the folks at Katichi would love to. CATEECHEE.com. It's our great friends halfway between here and Athens, Georgia. So, a little football game weekend, needing a place to stay, they'd love to have you at Katichi.com. Great people, great time. Every time I go over to Katichi at Katichi.com. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Scott Reimer is going to host the Tiger pregame show tomorrow for the 202nd consecutive time, and rain nor wind nor sleet nor snow can stop him, but it'll be a little earlier tomorrow. We'll tell you about the pregame show with Scott Reimer when you return for more of Chick-fil-A of Clemson on a College Football Friday right after this.
Having one of those days when nothing seems to go your way? It's never too late to restart your day at Bojangles with our delicious breakfast biscuits served for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Restart your day with two country ham biscuits for $3. Bojangles, it's bow time.
Book your next party at Carson Steakhouse in Anderson with a large private dining room to suit all of life's celebrations, corporate and social group events. Host a family or school reunion to remember. Book your reservation and they handle the rest. Double fried chicken wings, fresh baked yeast rolls, hand-cut steaks, grilled teriyaki salmon, and fresh strawberry shortcake, just to name a few delicious menu items. Make your reservation today. Call 226-9400. Again, that's 226-9400. Carson Steakhouse, Anderson.
Are you ready to go all in on a car? Granger Nissan knows what car will fit you and your family because they are a leader in the market with competitive inventory. They have everything for everyone. Granger Nissan is a family business, so they know the importance of taking care of the ones we love on the road. You can drive with confidence and ease because Granger Nissan has all new vehicles with a lifetime powertrain warranty. Granger Nissan is not just in the car business, they're in the people business. Stop by Granger Nissan of Anderson on 3510 Clemson Boulevard.
Come to Lion Metal Roofing this Saturday and celebrate the opening of their new location on U.S. Highway 29 North in Pelzer. Enjoy free burgers, hot dogs, chips, and more. A bounce house and snow cones for the kids, so bring the family. There will also be free hats, shirts, raffles, and other giveaways at Lion Metal Roofing this Saturday from 11:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. at 6713 U.S. Highway 29 North in Pelzer. Get in on all the fun at Lion Metal Roofing this Saturday. See you there.
Whether your adventure takes you to the top of Chimney Rock or the shores of Lake Jocassee or the woods for camping, Elkmont Trading Company in Clemson has everything you need for your next adventure. Serving the upstate since 1995, Elkmont offers fly fishing gear from Orvis and Sims, as well as the area's best selection of kayaks and camping gear, featuring Chacos, Birkenstocks, Patagonia, Southern Marsh, Columbia, Yeti, Eno Hammocks, Kavu Rope Bags, Mountain Khakis, and more. Elkmont also has kayaks and stand-up paddle boards for rent, so you can try before you buy. Are you hungry? Try Elkmont's barbecue sandwich or a pint of locally brewed craft beer from one of Elkmont's 16 taps. There really is something for everyone at Elkmont. So remember, if you haven't been to Elkmont, you haven't been to Clemson.
Anytime is a great time to buy jewelry from Reed's Jewelers in Haywood Mall. Whether it's a diamond for her, a watch for him, or maybe something special for an upcoming graduate, no matter the occasion, Reed's will dazzle you. Endorsed by Roar listeners like Zeke.
I'm calling in for one of your sponsors, man. Wally over there, Reed's Jewelers. Go check him out. They'll get you what you need. If not, he'll find it, and he will definitely take care of you.
Zeke loves Reed's Jewelers. You will as well. Reed's Jewelers, Haywood Mall next to Belk. Online at Reed's.com.
Before any vehicle can be called an Anderson Ford Certified Pre-Owned, it must pass a stringent 172-point inspection by their factory-trained techs. An Anderson Ford Certified Pre-Owned ensures your satisfaction with its extended warranty, roadside assistance, and vehicle history report. Buy your Anderson Ford Certified Pre-Owned with confidence from the supreme team at Anderson Ford. Exit 19 on Clemson Boulevard. Anderson Ford. Online at AndersonFordSC.com.
The Mickey Plyler Show
on 105.5 The Roar.
This is your plan?
Now back to Mickey and Zach.
You got Scott Pullman? Hey, my friends at Granger Nissan of Anderson want you to stop by. Man, the Pathfinder looks great. That Armada looks great. I tell you, that Kicks, that's an interesting-looking vehicle, a crossover vehicle. They've got a brand-new line, man, a great-looking line. They're making room for these 2019s. That's hard to believe. That's right around the corner. Go by at Granger Nissan of Anderson. Get your tailgate machine. You're going to absolutely love Granger Nissan of Anderson.com. Everything on the website is there. Do some pre-shopping. Check out maybe some of their certified pre-owned stuff. Don't forget, there's home of the lifetime powertrain warranty. Proud partners, the Clemson Tigers. They love to be your family dealer. So go by just right there on Clemson Boulevard in Anderson and see our great friends. Nissan is a hot brand right now, and at Granger Nissan of Anderson, their inventory is amazing. They've got a huge inventory over there. I was over there not too long ago, and man, they are just jumping over there. Granger Nissan of Anderson.com. Tomorrow morning, earlier than expected, Scott Reimer of the Tiger Pregame Show will host the Tiger Pregame Show for the 202nd consecutive time. He joins us now on the show. Good morning, Scott Reimer. How you doing?
Mick, doing well. Hope you are. And you batten down the hatches and ready for Hurricane Flo to come rolling through Clemson, South Carolina?
Oh, yeah, boy. I boarded up the windows at the house. Everything's ready, man. We are going to fend off those 5 inches of rain and that 25-mile-an-hour winds, man. I think we're going to make it through all this. It does affect you. It affects a lot of people. It really affects you because you're going to go 3.5 hours earlier tomorrow.
Yeah, kind of joked, I guess, at the season opener that this would be the last nooner we'd see for the year. And I guess you get what you we're getting what we deserve by making that bold prediction, because we moved up from the 3:30 to the noon games. That means the pregame show will be from 6 a.m. until 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. Kelly Gramlich will be back. She's back in the upstate of South Carolina after spending some time out in Texas with her family and watching the Clemson football. But hey, that's okay. We'll take it. You know, every day that you can go watch a Clemson football game, no matter what time it is a good day. So we'll jump all over it tomorrow morning.
tell us about it. What we have? What's on tap for us? What can we hear tomorrow? What are we looking forward to tomorrow? As folks will make their way impatiently into their parking spots in Death Valley tomorrow.
That's right. You got to be patient. You read the release there from Clemson. Very, very good, Mickey Plyler. you're very much on board with that. Now, yeah, we're gonna review a lot of the Texas A&M game. Excuse me, and then of course set the table for Georgia Southern as well. But you know, kind of a recap and looking forward, and now that we've got two games under our belt and really one game under our belt against a really quality opponent in Texas A&M, I think a lot of the questions that we had were answered, but I think some questions are still left unanswered, and we're going to try to answer them for you tomorrow.
I asked this earlier, Scott. Oh, let me talk about the game and the preparations. You know, Clemson got pretty good at this. Remember, we had the wet parking lots, and we had to make some adjustments. We had the Notre Dame hurricane, and without some highway patrol, we made the adjustments. And you agree with me, and I'm saying that when Dan Radakovich and the group ask you to be patient, get there earlier, do whatever we have to do, that as Clemson as a whole, our fans have been pretty doggone good about adjusting and being patient and understanding the conditions.
I totally agree with that. I thought really the precedence was set that year, I guess 2 years ago now, when we had not only the Notre Dame game, which just destroyed our parking lots, but then, you know, really it rained the next week, I think, against Georgia Tech, and then later in the season against Florida State, it was really just a quagmire of parking issues. But people rallied around that, I think, after the initial concerns about it, and I don't doubt that that will be any different tomorrow and moving forward. And hopefully, you know, the parking lots won't get destroyed like they did a couple of years ago. But to your point, Mick, I think when challenged to either have patience or to show up or to be loud or to go slow when you come in and watch your traffic, I think Clemson fans, and I, you know, Mick, it's not just Clemson fans. I think that's America. I mean, I think most Americans, the 90% of the people in this country are good people, and they want to do the right thing, and they respect our police, and they respect our emergency responders, and they understand that we're going to be spread thin tomorrow with that, rightfully so, as folks are helping out down at the coast, and the 90% of Americans will do the right thing, and that's almost 100% of Clemson people, but even across this country, people do the right thing. Most people do the right thing.
All right, looking at the weather, Scott, if the, and again, hurricanes are unpredictable. I know it's making landfall now at Wrightsville Beach, but if hurricanes, if the weather forecasts are right, it should be a beautiful day for the most part tomorrow. Will the wind affect the passing game a little bit, maybe 15 to 20 mile an hour winds over there tomorrow? Will you expect to see any adjustments by staffs and maybe, you know, not having the rain, but maybe the wind being a bigger part of the game?
Well, you know, I thought when we went, you know, really in the pregame out in College Station, it was windy and rainy. In fact, I think probably there'll be, at least based upon what we know right this moment, I don't know that the weather conditions will be drastically different than they were in College Station at the beginning of the game. Now, it cleared out by the second half. The wind died down and the rain stopped in College Station. But I think it'll be very similar to that first half in College Station, and quite frankly, I didn't see any change to the game plan. I thought Clemson threw the ball vertically and tried to establish that vertically. I'm still waiting for Clemson, Mick, to just line up and try to run the football a little bit more. That if you're looking for one thing that I haven't seen in the first two games that I am disappointed about, I'm very happy that Kelly's playing well and throwing the ball well vertically. I'm happy with what I'm seeing from Trevor and these receivers. But I want to see Clemson line up and run the stinking football. And we've just refused to do that in these first two games. And maybe that's by design, but I'm hoping tomorrow we'll see a little bit more of that.
Yeah, that was my next question to you was identity. Do we have an identity? I mentioned the good news is, Scott, that we talked all offseason long about improving the vertical passing game, but so far they've improved the vertical passing game at the expense of the running game. Would you agree with that statement?
Yeah, and I think we just can't be pleased, can we? You know, we've been year wanting the vertical passing game, but it's not so much the number of runs. I think what I'm about to say kind of contradicts what I'm saying here, but it's not the number of snaps. I think you have to kind of take what teams give you at times, but it's almost like we'll get a 5 yard run, or we'll maybe throw a pass on first down and get a third and or second and five or second and four, and we throw the football. And I just want to see us see if we can just line up and run three plays and get a first down without throwing the ball. And I think we can. I think we and then Meg, here's the other thing. It's not like a couple of years ago when we had what's the word without being ugly to these players? You know, just possession running backs, for lack of a better word. You know, guys that couldn't at any moment go the length of the field, but they could get you first downs, and were very serviceable. But we've got several guys, Mick, that on any given handoff are gone. I mean, we have a big play running capability type of offense with ETN and Feaster, and we aren't giving those guys a chance. In my opinion, we're not giving them enough of a chance to establish and get greased up. Reggie Merriweather always used to tell me when he co-hosted the show, running backs got to get greased up. It's just one of those things. It's not going to come in and get eight carries and it be productive for you. So I think the strategy has been give confidence to Kelly and give confidence to Trevor throwing the ball. I think we can say that's mission accomplished. Let's hand the ball off to ETN and see what happens.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun keeping up with that tomorrow. And I think that'll be a major emphasis in the offense. How was the trip to College Station? I know you always have reviews of places you go and learn and see and good and bad. Give me some thoughts about the trip out to College Station.
Well, my summary of that is this. It was, you know, my second trip to College Station, and it validated everything I thought about it from the first time. I mean, it wasn't a fluke the first time. All of that was true. The difference this year, there's two differences. In College Station, I was able to do the Bush Library and went to Barbara Bush's gravesite, who she's now buried out there, which is really, really neat. And then I did the Bonfire Memorial, which I did not do the first trip out there, and that was very cool. But the biggest takeaway for me, Mick, I went in Thursday to Austin and toured the facilities at Texas in Austin. You know, great facilities now. They got plenty to showcase there. But the difference between what is in Austin and what is in College Station is almost scary. College Station and Texas A&M, I don't know how these people haven't won multiple national championships. The land they've got, the facilities that they're building in College Station make Austin look antiquated, really, quite frankly, because Austin's really landlocked. The stadium and the campus is really landlocked in the city. I think if they can figure out a coach, and I don't know if Jimbo's the guy or not, I'm not making judgment on that, but if they can figure out a coach in College Station and get somebody to do that program the right way from the ground up, the money's there, the land's there, the facilities are there, I think Texas A&M should be a sleeping giant in college football, and for some reason they're just not.
You spent time in both places. If you are a high school football recruit, well, obviously you're a super athlete anyway, and having a choice and staying in the state, do you choose the Longhorns or you choose the Aggies?
Well, I think part of that's that whole big brother, little brother syndrome. I mean, we benefit from that in South Carolina, you know, just because of the brand. Texas has been the brand there, and so there's a generational ingrained philosophy that Texas is the place to go if you're a superstar athlete. I'm just saying if you knew none of that, and I understand that's hard to shake. You can't get that out of people's perceptions. But if you just showed up at the two places and you said which one is the most dramatic place to go play, you know, the most fascinating place to be and to do, it's College Station. I mean, just from the facility standpoint. Now, I don't understand how all that other stuff works with the military. You know, they're very military rich in College Station, and I don't know if that's a turnoff for some of these athletes, but your eyeballs tell you that College Station is the place to be.
I found it. The only negative thing I found about it, I found it a little bit cultish. That somebody else, that's not my original term, but I think they're right by saying that they get so into their traditions and the Aggie way and Aggie land and that they kind of get in their own way a little bit and you can't enjoy it and you kind of get so structured. And that's kind of a hard thing to do in today's world. And I'm not sure it sells to us, you know, to certain types of people, certain types of athletes, certain types of, you know, that whole military, whole structure and everything they do. I like it, but I can certainly see that. I mean, like, this in the stands itself, like, let's watch a play. I don't have to do a cheer in between every single play. I don't want to watch the yell leader. I want to watch the game a little bit. But they're setting their ways, man. And you know what? I do respect it and like it, but I can see some of that. Hey, before I let you go, new time, same place, same bat time, same bat channel tomorrow, it seems like. It should be a great 202nd time you guys are going to host this in a row.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it, and it's going to be great. Like you mentioned, we're over at the Swamp Pavilion at Lawn at Little John, 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock. I know Clemson fans will show up in mass tomorrow despite the time change and some of the travel logistics. And again, you only get an X amount. What do we get, 7 games a year in Death Valley? So if the Tigers are playing in Death Valley, Mick, you know I'm going to be there, and you know the Tiger pregame show is going to be there, and I know you will be too. So let's pull them through and then head to Atlanta next week.
No doubt about it. Let's talk next week about where you're going to be in Atlanta and how folks can listen in when we visit next Friday.
Will do, Mick. Have a great one.
You too. Scott Reimer, 202nd Dish, the Tiger pregame show coming up tomorrow. Hey, my friends at Trail, I've already been on the phone this morning with Will Huss, and the guys over there are rocking and rolling and getting things done. You know, to me, I see everywhere I go, maybe I'm just more alerted to it now, but I really, we've been talking about these guys for a while now. I just see more Trail trucks. I see more Trail signs. I see more Trail projects going up out there. And every time I see it now, I'm thinking of what all is going on. It is, there are people that are learning more about Trail and coming to Trail. You know, a lot of times you're thinking, I'll never build. I don't know anything about building. And then all of a sudden you get on a committee or you get put on a board, and all of a sudden you're saying, well, now I need to think about it. Just put this in your mind. If you ever want to know anything about building in the upstate of South Carolina, just call Trail. They're going to shoot you in the right direction. They're probably going to build you a great building for you. It's going to be delivered on time, in full, every single time, and it is their delivery method that is a difference. There's a Trail way to doing this thing. To find out more, TREHEL.com. Of all the things I know in this world, I know you'll be satisfied with that. 800-319-7006. Hour 3 after this.